very much. Good evening, church. I want to talk to us today about completeness. I'm going to lead that into how that relates to us taking communion shortly. But I want to talk to us about completeness, how Jesus brings completeness, and what he done when he died and rose again brings completeness to our life. I'll start with a little story. I may be speaking to the wrong audience for this story, but I wonder if any of you have seen the new Marvel movie that's just come out called Infinity War. Has anybody seen it? No spoilers. Has anybody seen it yet? Yes? Okay. Well, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I just went to watch it for the second time. And if any of you know about the story or anything leading up to it, the main villain in the movie, his name is Thanos, and his quest is to get 6 stones to complete his glove that makes him all powerful. So he needs all 6 stones. So the movie is about him accumulating those stones. And as I sat there, I thought it was very fitting. You know, every sermon needs a good gripping story at the beginning of it to grab everyone's attention. And I didn't have one, but I watched the movie twice, and now I have one. And so my point is that he wasn't complete without this quest. He wasn't complete. And we see this in his life, in this supervillain's life. He isn't real. Hopefully not, he isn't real. But we see this template and this pattern all throughout human life. I love sports, but something that has struck me since I've become a Christian and all throughout my time following sports is the lack of completeness that you see amongst professionals and the things that they say that show their desire to be complete. I haven't won this trophy. I haven't got this accolade. My career isn't complete until I achieve this goal. And we see this template in so many different areas of life. And of course, God is the author of creation. He is the author of completeness, and creation isn't complete without him. There's an amazing scripture in the book of Romans, and I won't turn there because it's not quite what we'll be looking at today, but it says all creation is groaning for him. So all creation is groaning to know God, to become complete again in the way that it originally was. And so the main thing is that it's no surprise that we see people like Thanos, and we see athletes who are struggling to feel complete, because the only way we're ever going to be fully complete, that our lives are ever going to be fully complete, is when we are blessed with the presence of Christ and what he brings to our life. So that's my snappy story. So I'm going to open up the Bible into the passage that I'll be talking to today. And it's in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21 and verses 1 to 14. So that's John 21 and 1 to 14. Cool. So it says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and there you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was so full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So don't close your Bibles because I'll be referring back to different verses. So immediately in this story, Jesus appears again to disciples. We immediately see the element of completeness that Jesus wants to bring in the fact that he has enabled them to catch this enormous amount of fish. He immediately introduces that, and we can immediately see that overtone in the story. But when we analyze it a bit more deeply, we're able to really get under the skin of what Christ is bringing. The element of the meal that he has with them at the end. How does this all tie together? And so I studied at a theological college, so sometimes I get quite technical. I'm not trying to be pedantic or overcomplicated. It's just the way I like to do things. So if you'll notice, we have seven disciples. Seven disciples are listed here. I won't count them all, but there are seven. Seven, as we know, is the number of divine completion. God's number being 777. We'll also notice in verse 14, you know, God wouldn't have put this in his word if he didn't want us to read it. This was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he raised from the dead. We also know that the number three is the number of perfection, perfect completion, God being a Trinity. So we have the number seven and the number three. So Jesus sets the template, the context, that this is a story of completion and of the completion that he brings. The interesting part of that analysis is that each of the previous times where Jesus had risen, this is the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he rose from the dead. In each of the two previous times, we had incomplete numbers, number 11. 11 disciples. And so in this third time, Jesus wants to emphasize, he wants to pinpoint the fact that this time he's speaking to disciples and reaching out to them to bring further completeness. So that just is an undertone for the entire story of what Jesus is doing, helping us to understand what he is doing. Number seven, seven disciples. Jesus wants to instigate a perfect community for us. He wants us, our community, to be complete, our communion with him. A complete community of disciples. So we have that template that Jesus sets. And of course, this invitation not only extends to us personally, but also to the wider church. And that he wants us to make us a complete community, as he did with the disciples here. So that's verse 1 and 2. We see here verse 1 and 2, Jesus appears to this community of disciples. Moving on to verse 3. We see the situation that the disciples are in. Reading verse 3 again, it says, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. So that's a key, the key word in this, the kind of key thing that happens in this verse. Simon Peter was a fisher before he met Christ, and now he's resorted back to his old way of life. He began as a fisherman, and then he was following Jesus all throughout Jesus' time on earth, and now he's a fisherman again, except he doesn't catch anything. Because he doesn't know quite yet that Jesus is there with him in this scenario. And I think what we can pick up from that verse there, from what Jesus is saying, is that resorting back to our old way of life without him is always going to bring a lack of completeness. Without him, the disciples were at an empty pursuit. They couldn't pursue their old goals of fishing, of being fishermen, because they had met the completeness of Christ once, and it had been taken from them, and now they needed it back. So that's verse 3. We see the disciples resort back to what they knew without the completeness of Christ. An example from my own life, I'm the youth worker here at All Saints. I've been involved with youth work for a long time, ever since I became a Christian, really. And along the way, I've done different elements of working with young people who are not just Christians. One summer when I was 20, I did this summer job, which was like a government scheme called NCS, National Citizen Service. where you work with young people in your community for 3 weeks. The first week I went to a university campus with them. No, the first week we went to like this adventure camp place. The second week I went to this university campus with them. And the third week we done some kind of project in the community. And this was the first time since becoming Christian that I had gone back to working with non-Christian youth. And it struck me immediately, you know, I didn't know how to place myself. I didn't know, should I be attempting to evangelize to these kids? Should I be trying to tell them about God? What should I be doing? And initially, I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to put Christ to the side for this couple of weeks. I'm not going to bother with God because it's not quite about him. This is just a non-Christian scheme that I'm involved in. And that was my approach. And, you know, as the scheme went by, of course, something wasn't quite right. And it was increasingly awkward. They would ask me, not necessarily theological questions, but the nature of the course meant that certain ethical questions were raised, and they would ask me my opinion on them, and I found myself second-guessing what I'm going to say. How am I going to respond to this, you know, considering my approach? Very conflicted. And ultimately, you know, this was a learning experience for me, because I learned that Christ wants us to carry the completeness of him, the completeness of his service that we have with him, into all areas and all walks, into where we go in life. So if I had to do that scheme again, you know, I'd have a firm Christian approach. Not that I would, you know, be over evangelistic or, you know, kind of confronting them. But my approach would be the same, just as I approach my Christian youth work in loving the kids with the love of Christ. Ultimately, I'm doing this for Christ, even if it's not as direct as it is as working in the church. And that was a learning curve for me, and learning what Jesus wants to do in bringing us completeness. And so that's a similar process that the disciples have gone through here in verse 3. Simon Peter goes back to fishing, and he catches nothing, this lack of completeness. And then we move on to verses 4 and 7, which is where Jesus steps in. So I'm going to read verse 4 to 7. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So Jesus, when he steps in, reveals the fuller way of life, the more complete way of life. One could make the presumption that Simon Peter resorted back to fishing earlier on in the story because it's all he knew. He didn't know what to do without Christ. That was his one occupation. And then Jesus came along and made him a fisher of man. And as I say again, once he had lost that, he resorted back to doing the only thing that he knew. But in verses 4 and 7, Jesus steps in and says, you don't need to go back to living in an incomplete way when I have provided you with completeness. And I provided you with the means to serve me in a complete way. And so he fills their net with fish because he wants to indicate to them that serving him and living for him is the way that we're going to find completeness in our lives. You know, when Jesus first performs this miracle, he says to them, "Come, and I will make you fishers of men." And it's no different here. He's saying, don't go back to that way of life, which is just empty, but find your completeness in serving me. And so Jesus reveals this to them. I think it's significant that the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And then once because his resurrection body was different from his earthly body, and once he does this miracle, they immediately know it's him. I think that speaks volumes for us in realizing when we see this completeness in our life,
We can immediately identify it with Jesus and what he's done and the abundance that he provides. So he provides a greater meaning, a greater abundance, and a greater completeness in serving him rather than serving things for another agenda. So moving on to verse 8 and 13. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. I think it's no coincidence that Jesus invites them to breakfast here. This is the second meal, or this is the only meal that Jesus has with them since the Last Supper. So he had the Last Supper with them where he said, "Break the bread and the wine with me." And that was dinner. And now he says, "Come and have breakfast." Because his earthly life ended. And that was dinner. That was the end of the day, just as it was the end of his life. And now he's saying, "Come and have breakfast," because breakfast is at the start of a day. And this is the start of a new day. A new day of completeness for us and our lives. And Jesus invites them to have this meal. I also think it's no mistake that Jesus says that there is bread at this meal. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, just as he did at the Last Supper. So at the Last Supper, they have bread and wine. At this meal, they have bread and fish. The wine, as we know, representing his blood of the new covenant, and the bread representing his body. At this meal, we have bread and fish. He's saying, it's no different. You're still a part of my body in that we have the bread, but now we have more completeness. And that's why we have the fish, because your service to me is bringing greater completeness to your life. So we have the Last Supper. We celebrate the Last Supper because we celebrate what Christ done for our life. And this meal is indicating, Jesus is indicating to us that our lives are complete in him. The opportunity of complete service to him. And so they share this meal with him. Notice that it says, even with so many, the net was not torn. The net should have torn, but it didn't. Just as in him, his kingdom will never break. And when we are serving him, his word will never fail. And in his service, our pursuit of his kingdom will never fail. When I was working, as I aforementioned, for that scheme, the National Citizen Service, I was conflicted and I didn't know what I was doing. And it was ultimately a failure for me. It was a failure that I learned from, but it was ultimately a failure. In Christ, our service never fails because it's for him and it's complete. So this is a new day where we have breakfast, this meal of breakfast, a new day in our lives when we leave behind the things that didn't bring completeness. We leave behind the pursuits that didn't bring completeness. And we surrender all things to Christ, as serving him brings completeness. So the story of completeness and how it speaks to us. Just to recap, reading some of the main parts of the story again. Jesus appears to the disciples, 7 disciples, indicating a community of completeness that Jesus wants to bless. The third time he appears to them, further emphasizing the story of completeness. "Have you any fish?" No, they answered. Jesus appears, and he makes our life complete and turns us round from serving empty things to serving him. So as we move, as we take communion in a moment, I want us to think about how the two meals interlink. As I said, I think it's no coincidence that this is the meal that the disciples share. This is the meal that they share immediately with Jesus after they have shared the Last Supper, because they are both linked. One is dinner and one is breakfast. So as we take communion, I want us to consider how the death of Christ has moved us into more complete service, has moved our life into greater service, and how we are complete with him when we are serving him. So I'm just going to pray to close, and then Jenny's going to come up and we're going to take communion. Father Lord, thank you, God, so much for the completeness that you bring to our life. We would be nowhere without you, Lord. And anywhere that we would be without you, Lord, would be incomplete. We thank you that you completed your work on the cross, God. We thank you that you completed creation, Lord, and that you want to complete us. I pray that we would only ever look for completion in you, Lord, and not in things that will leave us empty. I thank you that the net never tears, Lord, on your service. That just as other pursuits and other forms of service can fail or fall apart, Lord, yours never will. And any time and in any way we serve you, Lord, we are serving you in a complete way. And I pray that as we take communion, we will remember you and what you've done and how you completed our life. In Jesus' name, amen.